Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 529. I'm Amy Matheny, and wow, guys, where is summer? I gotta tell you, it's just, I really try to be a positive, affirmative, half glass empty, or at least the half is half, the glass is half kind of gal, but this weather is bumming me out. It's bumming me out, sports fans. I'm not even a sports fan, but it's bumming me out, sports fans. So I am trying to pull the sunshine and pull the summer into my life however I can, with these gray, overcast, also rainy days, and many more seem to be on the horizon this week. So pulling in the sunshine, what are some options of things for you to do? Well, I had the wonderful good fortune over the long 4th of July weekend to go and see About Face Theater's critical hit, The Pride, which is just amazing. Run, don't walk. And for those of you who loved the homosexuals, you know, it's at the same space that the homosexuals played, the same stage at Victory Gardens Biograph Theater on Lincoln. And you can get tickets at aboutfacetheater.com, or I'm sure at the victorygardens.org website as well. But this show, four actors, four phenomenal actors, they're all beautiful. The three guys are just gorgeous. Patrick Andrews, who's becoming such a name around town in Chicago theater and growing into a fine young man. And John Francisco, handsome cuss that he is, some of the best work I've seen him do. And the wonderful Ben Sprunger, who was with me in Enron and has done a number of About Face Theater shows, are joined by Jesse Fisher, who's just radiant and clear and funny and real. The whole production, amazing. Design, the direction, the script, it is a show that is penetrating, and I can't stop thinking about it, about our community and the history that we have with the people, the GLBT people of our past, linking us to our present. And it is really, really, really a wonderful show. I went to a matinee on Saturday, holiday weekend, and it was packed. Sold out and very diverse crowd. A lot of us homosexuals, but definitely even some straight older couples, you know, the matinee crowd. And it was, I went with a friend, a very good friend who, you know, doesn't see a ton of theater, straight woman, married with kids, and she could not stop talking about it. So it is really, to me, one of the best shows of the year, one of the best shows of the season. And I'm talking the 12-month season that preceded this show. So Run, Don't Walk, I believe they may be doing an extension, but this weekend is supposed to be the closing. So go this weekend or contact About Face and see if they are going to extend so that maybe you can see it in this month of July. Hopefully it will be running through the end of July, but I know it is running through this weekend of the 14th. So run, don't walk to go see that. And the other thing to do is, you know, just gather with friends and maybe you could do some karaoke and do some singing. And, you know, that kind of behavior could lead you to being the next Windy City Gay Idol. And that is exactly what happened to our 2013 Windy City Gay Idol, Maria Paul, who we all got to know throughout this competition. And at the semifinals at Sidetrack and at the finals at Mainstage, she blew the roof off a packed house at Mainstage. And I'm just psyched to get to spend some time with Maria and talk with her about, you know, what led her to her this voice that she has that is so strong, so moving, so engaging. And I think you'll be a bit surprised because Maria has a very big career track. So what made her come out to compete in the Windy City Gay Idol and how what she thinks helped her take it all the way to the crown. So Maria Paul on the show with me. Also, what's going on in the theater scene, some other exciting concerts coming up, and lots of GLBT news as the decision from the Supreme Court seems to be radiating across the United States for sure. And also, there is some impact with marriage equality across the pond and on other continents. So, it's a big show. Hopefully I'll warm and add a little sun to your day. Enjoy.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. In Michigan, a federal judge temporarily prevented a state law from taking effect that would have barred many public entities from providing health insurance to the domestic partners of their employees. The ACLU and Kirkland & Ellis LLP challenged the law on behalf of five gay and lesbian public employees, as well as their long-term domestic partners, who either lost their health insurance or would have lost their insurance as a result of the law.
Indiana Governor Mike Pence has admitted that some of the hundreds of comments that his staff deleted from his official Facebook page were targeted because they expressed disagreement with his opposition to same-sex marriage. He also apologized, adding that the action went beyond the office's internal policy of removing only profane, inflammatory, or uncivil comments.
Same-sex marriage proponents marked yet another victory June 27th after the United States Supreme Court rejected appeals from Arizona and Nevada involving the rights of same-sex couples. The justices let stand an appeals court ruling striking down an Arizona law that made state employees in same-sex relationships ineligible for domestic partner benefits. The Nevada case was a challenge to the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Republican Governor Jan Brewer denied that Arizona had targeted same-sex couples and criticized the court for not recognizing the state's right to limit employee benefits.
In Tennessee, College Dale is poised to become the first city in the state to extend employee benefits to domestic partnerships. College Dale commissioners voted 4-1 to include same and opposite sex domestic partnerships in their employee benefit policies. If leaders approve the change in August, the town will be the only one among the state's 346 cities to cover domestic partnerships.
Two Florida men are the first binational married same-sex couple granted a green card. Julian March and Tryon Povov, who live in Fort Lauderdale, were married in New York last year. Povov is from Bulgaria.
Marriage equality advocates are listing the states that will be the next battlegrounds. Among those that could approve same-sex marriage this year are Illinois, New Jersey, which may try to override Governor Chris Christie's veto, and Hawaii, which has had civil unions since 2012. Possible battleground states for 2014 include Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, Ohio, and New Mexico.
The San Francisco Human Services Agency released its biennial homeless count. And for the first time in the survey's history, respondents were asked to identify their sexual orientation. Of the 1,000 participants, nearly one-third identified as LGBTQ, while earlier studies have estimated a high LGBTQ homeless population in the city, the survey results have surprised even experts in the field.
State Rep. Patricia Todd, the first openly gay lawmaker in Alabama's history, said she plans to challenge the state's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. Todd, who plans to marry her partner September 14th in Massachusetts, said she expects a number of lawsuits in states where marriage equality is banned. 29 states, including Alabama, have banned same-sex marriage, while 5 other states have laws prohibiting it.
In Utah, out gay Democratic State Senator Jim DeBacchus proposed to partner Stephen Justison at a rally at Salt Lake City's Club Sound. The couple met 26 years ago. In 2011, DeBacchus became the first openly gay person to lead a state party in Utah.
U.S. Senator Barbara Boxer, the Democrat from California, has called on the Social Security Administration to swiftly extend Social Security survivor benefits to all same-sex couples and their families.
1 week after the Supreme Court struck down DOMA, Lambda Legal filed a motion for summary judgment in New Jersey Superior Court on behalf of Garden State Equality, the state's statewide LGBT advocacy organization, and 6 same-sex couples who want marriage equality. In June 2011, Lambda Legal filed a lawsuit seeking the freedom to marry, arguing that barring same-sex couples from marriage and allowing only civil unions violates both the New Jersey Constitution and the 14th Amendment of the Federal Constitution.
The California State Senate passed the School Success and Opportunity Act, which supports transgender students by allowing them to fully participate in all school activities, sports teams, programs, and facilities in accordance with their gender identity. The bill passed the California State Assembly last month. The bill now awaits Governor Jerry Brown's signature.
In Chicago, a body found July 4th in Belmont Harbor is believed to be that of a man who went missing during Pride celebrations June 30th. Christopher Evans, who friends say identified as straight, went missing after spending the night partying with friends at the gay night spot Roscoe's in Boys Town. Loyola University, where Evans worked and was pursuing his MBA, confirmed that the body was that of Evans.
Cherry Grove Community House and Theater, located on New York's Fire Island, has been added to the National Register of Historic Places. The theater was cited for being the oldest continuously operating gay and lesbian theater in the U.S.
In world news, Costa Rica may have accidentally approved same-sex unions. Legislators okayed a measure that changed Article 22 of the so-called Law of Young People. The text previously stated that unions were only recognized if they were between a man and a woman. Now the law recognizes the right to recognition without discrimination, contrary to human dignity, social and economic effects of domestic partnerships that constitutes publicly, notoriously unique, and stable with legal capacity for marriage for more than 3 years. Conservative lawmakers are upset over the mistake and are urging President Laura Chinchilla to veto the bill.
Nova Scotia will soon fund gender reassignment surgery for its transgender residents. Nova Scotia will be the 8th Canadian province to cover gender reassignment surgery.
Vincent Wijesinghe became the first politician in Singapore to come out of the closet. Wijesinghe, treasurer of the Singapore Democratic Party, said that he wants a law that makes gay behavior illegal off the books. The decades-old law makes gross indecency between men punishable by up to 2 years in prison.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has signed a bill barring same-sex couples from foreign countries from adopting Russian children. The legislature passed the law after France established legal marriage equality rights in May. This new statute limits adoption possibilities for 600,000 Russian children who do not have parental custody.
It turns out that more than 15 million LGBT people are banned from same-sex marriage in France. France has signed agreements with several countries, saying any expatriates would be banned from marrying under the new Marriage for All law. The countries are Algeria, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Cambodia, Laos, Montenegro, Morocco, Poland, Serbia, Slovenia, and Tunisia, as well as the region of Kosovo.
In Russia, all the participants in the June 29th St. Petersburg Gay Pride Parade were arrested and detained in police vans. In addition, anti-gay protesters badly beat some of the participants. 5 Russian gay couples, who in a historical legal move applied for marriage licenses the previous day, were also detained.
In entertainment news, Modern Family could feature a gay wedding plot following the June 26th DOMA ruling. Modern Family co-creator Christopher Lloyd said that a wedding for gay couple Cameron, Eric Stonestreet, and Mitchell, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, is now a real possibility.
Sesame Street's Bert and Ernie grace the upcoming cover of the New Yorker magazine, which also suggests that the Muppets might be in a different kind of relationship. Shown in partial silhouette from behind, Bert sits upright on a couch with his arm wrapped around Ernie, who rests his head on Bert's shoulder. They are lit by a television that clearly displays the Supreme Court. The magazine calls the July 8th and 15th cover Bert and Ernie's Moment of Joy.
The Fabulous Beekman Boys, couple Josh Kilmer-Purcell and Brent Ridge, married June 28th at their farm in Sharon Springs, New York, where they filmed their Cooking Channel show. Kilmer-Purcell and Ridge wed in front of guests such as Martha Stewart, who planned the nuptials and broadcast the wedding on her Sirius XM radio show, Martha Live.
The CBS show The Good Wife has cast Alias alum Melissa George as Peter, Chris Noth's smart, sexy, and savvy new in-house ethics counsel. The show has also added British actress Juliette Rylance as Holly, an assistant state attorney who is a love interest for female private investigator Kalinda, played by Archie Punjabi.
Neil Patrick Harris will marry long-term partner David Bertka after being engaged for 7 years. Harris is unclear whether they will marry in California or New York.
And President Obama will bestow the National Medal of Arts and the National Humanities Medal upon out gay playwright Tony Kushner and lesbian poet Kay Ryan. Author Joan Didion, producer-director George Lucas, actress Anna Deavere Smith, opera singer Renee Fleming, and others will also be honored.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Jill Sobio, and you're listening to me on the Windy City Queercast. I'm proud to be on Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of July 8th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. Main stage presents the all-female klezmer band Isle of Klezbos, one night only July 21st, performing Yiddish swing, retro tango, and neo-traditional folk. Isle of Klezbos was featured on Showtime's The L Word and has been called brilliant and provocative. Tickets to Isle of Klezbos are on sale now at mainstage.com. That's mayne stage.com.
Idina Menzel is coming to Aurora's River Edge Park Outdoor Concert Pavilion one night only, July 19th. The star of Broadway's Wicked and Rent, as well as the hit TV show Glee, Idina Menzel takes the stage with a 55-piece orchestra to perform her greatest hits. Limited tickets are available at riveredgeaurora.com. That's riveredgeaurora.com. Don't miss Idina's rare Chicago appearance.
And for more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Anyone out there? Bueller? Bueller? Post a comment at windycityqueercast.com. Named its 11th Windy City Gay Idol. It's the culmination of the 11 years of our competition, and it was sponsored by Smirnoff Vodka this year. And on June 24th, That's right, 24th. God, that feels forever ago. After 3 to 4 months of events in over 11 bars across the city of Chicago and the suburbs, Maria Paul, we finally got a lady. Maria Paul was crowned the 2013 Windy City Gay Idol to an overwhelming reception at a packed main stage theater. So I'm just thrilled to get Maria on the show and let her talk a little bit. We've heard her sing a lot if you've been to the competitions, but just to get to know who will be representing us this year as our gay idol. Hey, Maria, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I am great. Now, I know that you have an intense day job, which is as a student right now. Tell all our listeners what you're actively doing right now and pursuing.
Well, I'm studying for the Illinois and the multi-state bar exam currently, which is, you know, as stressful as you would assume it would be. You have to cram your head full of as much law as you can make it hold, and then you have to cram it full of even more. So It's been a pretty intense study schedule. I'm still working part-time as well. Hopefully I'll be able to stop that at the beginning of next week and just devote my time full time to studying, but it's, you know, pretty crazy 12-hour days studying old law that old men wrote and is kind of boring, but you do what you gotta.
So when is the actual exam?
That's going to be July 30th and 31st. It's a 2-day process. You got to do one day where you're just doing a bunch of multiple choice questions and another day that's devoted to essays. So, it should be an interesting experience, to say the least.
Yeah. Well, we will say incantations, prayers, and sing a couple of show tunes at Sidetrack, all in your honor the couple of days before that. That's our big
Any
gay
good vibes that are appreciated.
Those are all our good gay vibes we can send to you here at the end of the month. So did law school bring you to Chicago?
Yeah, that's why I came to Chicago. I just graduated from DePaul College of Law. Came here because they have a really awesome social justice program. I'm interested in doing civil rights and criminal defense law, so hopefully I'll be able to find a full-time gig doing that. But DePaul just has a really great social justice program and civil rights clinic that does a lot of amazing work for the community and for indigent individuals. So Big reason I came here.
And where are you from, Maria? Where do you hail from?
Originally from Midland, Michigan. It's the international headquarters of Dow Chemical. I kind of liken it to Springfield in The Simpsons, if you've ever seen that. It's got three-eyed carp in the river and dioxin in the lakes, and it's just a beautiful place.
Beautiful and chemically placed.
So
you come to Chicago, you're in law school. That's an intense experience. Tell me first how you kind of forged your way into the LGBT community and about your sexuality and how you came to know, that you were a part of this colorful, group of us.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I grew up, I was raised pretty strictly Catholic. So I, like a lot of people, I guess, realized my sexuality a little bit later in life. I didn't really come out until I was, you know, around 19, after high school. I think in high school is when I had, you know, like my first girl crushes and my first girlfriend, sort of. We weren't really calling it that, but you know, that's what it really was. And it wasn't until I got to college that I was kind of able to get out of my own and come to terms with myself and realize that this is who I was. And then I kind of dove in with both feet. I had already been a really active member of LGBT issues because my best friend in high school was gay, and he was openly gay in high school, where it was not a very good place to be openly gay. Our town was really conservative. He got, you know, bullied for it, but he was really strong in who he was. And I think, you know, having that relationship got me interested in the issues. I was always a big theater kid, and there were gay kids in the theater. So it was after the whole development of being involved in it. And then I kind of was like, you know, I care about this more than just because it has to do with my friends. And, you know, I can admit this to myself now. So that was more or less the SparkNotes version of the whole process. Mm-hmm.
It's so funny that, you know, a generation, you're not my generation, you're the generation younger than me. And it's so interesting when so many people say, I came out really late at 19, you know, and I think my contemporaries, we would think I came out really late at 28 or 29, you know, after perhaps even a marriage or a significant relationship not working. So it's, I mean, definitely know that kids today are coming out younger and younger, and it's just such a switch, you know. And it's nice that you had buddy and friends, as peers, you know, in high school.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think a lot of it, I noticed that girls tend to come out a little bit later too. I think that might have something to do with the fact that, we're not really socialized or encouraged to be sexual creatures, I guess. We kind of, you know, don't really know our own sexuality or our own sexual autonomy really when we're growing up. Just because you're sort of, as a girl, you're taught to, you know, be sweet and nice and, you know, you're going to make babies eventually, but you don't really you're not encouraged to, I guess, investigate your own desires really. I mean, I know a lot of girls who, don't do any sort of real sexual investigation on their own or any real self-questioning or awareness of that kind of aspect of your biology and your life. So I think being a girl also has something to do with the timeline of when people come out.
Yeah. I also think it's because the penis is outside the body and the vagina is inside the body. I have to say, the poor boys, they kind of don't have, you know, they've got a divining rod, so to speak. It's like they can't even hide it if they want to hide it. And I've had many a gay man say, you know, it's easier on you gals. It's easier. And I have to sometimes say it probably is, you know, in some ways around that. But in so many other ways for women, it's not easier. And one of those is something I know, you know, and just getting to know you through the competition, that body issues and size and weight has been a huge part of your story and self-esteem around one's body. Can you talk a little bit about that and your journey and coming to being confident, whatever size along your journey you have been?
Sure. I mean, I talked a little bit about this in the other Windy City article. I talked to Ross, I think, about, but I'll just restate a couple of those things, I guess. I've always been a bigger girl. I grew up in, you know, a small town, and I always was kind of a chubby one growing up, and I went through the whole, I guess, process that I think everybody does when you don't fit into the kind of mold that society says you're supposed to look this certain way or act this certain way. No matter what it is, if you don't fit into that box, and I don't think anybody really does 100% of the time, you learn to kind of try to force yourself to fit into it. So when I was growing up in high school and in early college, I did all of the crazy diets. I started doing like excessive running, where I would be running probably like 5 miles a day, and, you know, just hours and hours of jogging and starving myself and doing whatever I could to try to get down to a smaller size. And that was, I mean, I've always had, I guess, a fairly good sense of self-awareness or self-identity. Even when I couldn't really find words to put on things, I would know, like, this is what I want to be doing right now. Yeah. And there was just, I remember this one week where I was running, even more excessive than the 5 miles a day. It was something crazy. Like, I would go to the gym for like 3 hours in the morning. I'd go to class and then I'd go to the gym like 3 hours at night. And I did this like for a week or two, and I was only letting myself eat soup, like broths, not even anything that had any real substance to it. And I was just, you know, eating lettuce or celery and things that had no real, you know, no real nutrition value, I guess, because I was just wanting to get lower and lower and lower, because I was hovering at around like 215, something like that. And I guess they hit that thing where you call it the plateau or whatever, where it just wasn't coming off anymore.
And I just remember being so sick, just feeling so exhausted that whole week. And then I kind of thought to myself, like, well, why am I doing this? You know, when I was running or, you know, exercising like three times a week, I felt energetic and I felt good. And I was eating what my body was telling me I should be eating and you know, not eating fried food every day or anything like that, but trying to eat what seemed to be good to put in your body, like get your fruit and veg and all that kind of stuff. And I was fine and I was healthy. And why am I trying to make myself not fine and not healthy just because of how I look? Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a moment where I just sort of thought about it. And I'm like, well, if I don't feel unhealthy, if I feel good and I feel like I have energy and, you know, I must be doing something right. And my doctor tells me I don't have, you know, health issues. So why am I trying to arbitrarily get down to a certain weight size just because that's what I think I should look like? So it just seemed a very shallow thing to me that I should be so concerned with this aesthetic and, you know, I should be more concerned with my health. And I guess that's where I kind of started going down that road, and it's gotten to the point where, you know, I'm very body positive now. I think that the biggest rule that we should all give everybody is that you have a right to treat your own body the way you want to treat your own body. Hmm. So, I mean, it might, and I know a lot of people say, well, oh, if it's unhealthy, you know, if you look unhealthy, it's such a horrible example for children. And I hear in that a lot of the similar arguments that get made about, like, well, if you're openly gay or you have, you know, children when you're gay, that's such a bad example, like, or it's so terrible for the children. So I'm always very leery of those kinds of arguments. And when it comes to health, even, you know, I hear kind of people are like, oh, well, you know, as long as you're healthy, it's fine. I kind of think as long as you're happy, it's fine. You know, it's your life. It's your decision. You know, if you're sitting on a couch eating Doritos every day, like, I don't know your experience. I don't know where you come from or what you're doing or what you're going through. So I think everybody deserves basic human dignity and respect, regardless of what you look like, regardless how you treat your body. You know, if you're eating a lot of horrible food and you want help, like, and you reach out for it, that's great. You know, I want everybody to be happy and healthy, but it's not for me to pass judgment on other people and tell them what they should or should not be doing.
Well, look, I love hearing your voice, and I don't mean your singing voice, but I do want to talk. You're just so well spoken. I'm so honored that you chose to come and be a part of our competition this year, and it was such a gift to just see you perform at the semifinals and the finals. Talk to me about how you heard about the Idol competition and why and when you first decided to compete.
I think I heard about it from a friend. She had had somebody, a mutual friend, he wasn't a friend of mine then, but TJ, who had won a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. She was a friend of his. And I mean, I've always loved karaoke. I love to sing. It's like, you know, it's always been a what do you call it? Like a blowing off steam kind of thing. Just a really fun. I was always in musical theater growing up. Like I love to do it. So she had known that I did karaoke and, you know, I've had some, and she was a law school buddy of mine, and she was like, well, why don't you do this competition? It's, you know, there's some money involved, but it's also just a really fun thing, and I think you'd be good for it. So that was last year was the first time I did it because she had mentioned it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I got involved, I guess.
And so you came back again this year.
Yeah, I did. This year was like, it was kind of, I didn't know if once I was an attorney, I could really do like Windy City Gay Idol. I was like, is that a thing?
We don't allow like, Windy City, you know, Gay Idol attorneys at all. So after you pass this bar, you're done. No.
I mean, that was probably a silly thought, but it was also kind of like, well, you know, I had a lot of fun doing it last year. I want to try it again and see is my last great hurrah before I hit the bar exam setting and have to settle down as a serious adult or something. I don't even know what that means. Probably won't actually happen. But it's definitely, that was one of my thought processes. I was like, I'll just do it again. It's this last great hurrah. We'll try, give it one more shot and see what happens.
So what was the new strategy? I know that you probably just, you know, you walk into the preliminary event and you're such a powerful singer. I know the crowd at DS just fell in love with you, but at semifinals, it gets tougher, you know, and there's a strategy that kind of has to happen, most of it around picking the right song. What strategy did you have to kind of stand out at Sidetrack with, you know, 23 other singers? And then how did you carry that strategy into the finals when you know you have to bring it three times in a row to get the title?
Right. Well, I think a lot of it was I learned a lot from last year. Like, having gone through the process last year, and I made it to the top six last year. But last year, I think I was more concerned with, like, I don't know, I was thinking about choosing songs that were more commercially viable or something. You know, like, some songs that are more well-known. I think the first preliminary round I did last year that I actually didn't make it through, but then was given a wild card to go through to the final preliminary round that I ended up winning last year, was I did a song that was, I did like an Adele song that I don't really feel fit my voice very well, but I knew it was something that everyone in the bar would know and that everybody would hopefully get into, but that didn't work out. So I just thought, and then I kind of did a similar thing when I was going through the finals last year, where I chose songs that I thought, oh, more people would know this. It would be more like audience pandering and that kind of thing, to try to get, like, I mean, I know I have the voice underneath it, but I want to choose a song that everyone will know and get into. Mm-hmm. And that didn't seem to work out as well last year. So this year I was like, well, I'm just going to choose songs that I really like, that I think, even if no one else in the bar knows this song, I can still get them into it because I know it goes to my strengths and my vocal, I guess my vocal style, really. So that's what I did this year as opposed to last year that I think worked out.
I think you found your authentic voice this year and stopped trying to be what you thought other people, you know, wanted you to be. And that really worked. And I know some of it was around really singing some of your musical influences. Who are some of those? I mean, I know who a couple of them are because I was at the finals, but share with our listeners.
Well, if anyone needs to look up an amazing band that is, they're not huge in the U.S., and I think part of the reason might be because their lead singer, Beth Ditto, is this really big girl, and she's amazing. She's a powerhouse. I kind of want to be her when I grow up in certain senses. But she's gay. Her bandmates are all queer and really active in that community. And they're huge in Europe and the UK. But then they came on a U.S. tour recently, and I went to see them in Chicago, and it was a smaller venue, probably something like only 300 or 500 people were there, somewhere in that range. And when they, you know, when they tour in Europe, they are selling out like multi-thousand, like 12,000 people in a venue, like crazy kind of stuff like that. So the gossip is huge for me. They're amazing.
Beth Ditto is amazing. Cindy Lauper on the True Colors tour. So, and she's an Arkansas girl, Beth and her bandmates. So I think America sometimes is slow to get it.
Right. I definitely look them up. Any listener who's listening to this, they're great music, just awesome. So she would definitely be one of my big, I guess, not just music inspirations, but life inspirations, really. And then, of course, I gotta love Adele. She's one of my huge, like, the way that she is able to emotionally express certain experiences in her life in such a way that gets across to anyone, even if you've never had a really horrible breakup or anything. She is still able to, what I think a real artist is capable of doing is, even if you don't have that exact experience, you can still relate to it. The way she's able to do that, even with people who don't have her background and maybe don't have a similar experience as her, you can still relate to her music. So I think that's incredible.
She's amazing and has obviously broken a lot of molds and knocked down a lot of walls.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then of course, like, I have to, you know, throw in, I'm a classic rock girl. Like, my dad growing up, we always listened to the Beatles and Billy Joel and Elton John and all that good stuff. So when I was growing up, like, it was a lot of the Eagles and all Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Like, I like rock. I like classic rock, and so that's like where my base is, I guess, or my heart is.
Yeah. You know what I love about the competition, and I could really see it this year because it was our first year at Main Stage, and it's such a beautiful venue and really was a showcase I've wanted for our singers to have for the past few years. It's taken a bit of work and effort to get us there for the finals. Because everyone, all of the top 12 were just showcased in such a beautiful way to really hear people's voice and give them the spotlight. And I was so excited about that. How was it getting to know the other singers in the competition? Because I just felt like there was so much camaraderie. And as the competition got narrower and went to six people and then got narrower to the top three, and our second place, Timmy, and third place, Jonathan, everyone seemed so enthusiastic for each other's success. And I felt like the other Idol finalists were so excited about your win. And I just think it's unusual, right? I mean, I think that's kind of a wonderful thing about this competition.
Oh, yeah, no, I absolutely, going through this competition, I felt like I was in my drama club back in high school. You know, like everybody really cares and wants everyone else to do well. And like, while we all, of course, a lot of us are huge divas and we all want to shine in our own right, I didn't experience any of, you know, kind of the bad aspect of divaness, I guess, which is like the backstabbing or any of that kind of stuff. Like, none of that was anything that was going on or even on my radar. Everybody was super supportive. Everybody is, you know, even though everyone is so talented and wants to do so well themselves, they want everyone else in the competition to do well. So just all of my co-competitors are incredible people. A few of them I knew from the competition last year and struck up friendships with them then. Some of them were new to me. But everybody was just has amazing positive attitude, and just you can just tell that everyone was in it for the joy of performance and not really in it to, you know, try to get money or backstab someone else or feel like they were super special and more awesome than anyone else there. You know, it was very much a sense of camaraderie going through the whole competition.
I just loved it. I thought this was our best year ever. And I really appreciate all of you showing up and just giving us a great night of celebration, because it was the night of the Supreme Court decisions came down, calling DOMA unconstitutional and striking down Prop 8. So it was quite a night of rejoicing and singing and celebrating, and all of our contestants just brought that enthusiasm and passion. Now, you won an iPad that Smirnoff gave you, which I'm sure is going to be to good use, and some cash and a trip to Toronto. So I want to ask you a few questions. What are you going to do with the cash?
I'm going to use it most likely to pay rent, quite honestly. I mean, living off of student loans and then whatever money I was able to make for the past 3 years doing part-time jobs, you know, kind of it's a little scary after you finish your professional degree. And right now, all of my law student friends, we're all studying for the bar. Some of us have jobs lined up, like full-time legal jobs lined up after this. Some of us don't. I don't at this point have any full-time legal gig lined up. So having that little nice extra cushion to, you know, be able to pay rent right after I pass the bar exam, hopefully, fingers crossed, and then spend that three months while I'm waiting for my results of the bar exam to be looking for a job, just to have that little extra cushion is really nice.
And have you ever been to Toronto? I know you're going to Toronto courtesy of Tourism Toronto and American Airlines. Have you visited the city before?
I have gone there a couple of times before. I think the last time I went was a buddy of mine. It was her 19th birthday. And when I'm from Michigan. So like one of the, pilgrimages that every young Michigan person goes through, at least most of the ones I knew, is that the drinking age is 19 in Canada. So when you turn 19, you go over to Canada and spend a weekend there and then come back, and you have to wait until you turn 21 until you can go to the bars again. But that was the last time I went. It was a good time though.
Oh, well, we are very excited because you're going to be spending 5 days and 4 nights in Toronto, and I hope that you'll come back and tell me all about it. You know, it's very exciting. They're having World Pride there, which is going to be enormous, with countries from all over the world represented, and a huge party there next summer. So I don't know. You might want to wait. Maybe we can line you up to perform for World Pride and you can pop up at that time. I think once they hear you sing, those folks at Tourism Toronto, they're going to want to have you perform or do something when you get there.
That would definitely be fun. I would love to do that. And I definitely thought about going to see World Pride. It depends on how my schedule turns out, but that's number one idea is to go during World Pride.
Well, I think now that you're on these interviews for, a team of people that you want to practice law with, I think, you know, this should go on the resume. I think it shows diversity. It shows that you could break out in song while you were litigating a case. It could tell that you have a powerhouse voice, which we all know. And I just appreciate you sharing that with us. Not only your voice of just who you are as a woman, as a lesbian woman, body positive woman, obviously ambitious and career driven, but I love that you chose to let your hair down and release and rock out with us and take home the big prize during Pride Month at the Windy City Gay Idol. Maria, I'm so glad you came.
Oh, well, I'm glad to do it. It was super fun and just a great experience. And I'm glad to represent for the big girls and represent for, you know, getting what you want and doing what you need to do to be happy. So if I can do that at all, it makes me happy.
That's a good platform to run this year on. And we're going to be looking for opportunities, and I know they will come to Maria this year. So we'll keep you apprised of where Maria might be performing. And hopefully we'll be able to announce after, you know, where you're going to be working, and people might want to reach out to you for your services otherwise besides singing, and also just to hear, we're going to send you well wishes on the bar here at the end of the month. So Maria Paul, our 2013 Windy City Gay Idol, we're going to get to know her this year, and hey, if you know an awesome law firm that needs just an amazing, extraordinary voice, and I don't mean singing voice, you can get through to Maria through us here at Windy City Media or the Windy City Queercast. Maria, I'll let you get back to studying, and thanks so much for talking with me today.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful week. Let's all just burn some sage and say some prayers and hope that the summer weather is soon back to us with some sunny skies and some beach time. I did get a little beach time at Hollywood Beach, always my favorite place to be any beach day of the summer in Chicago. And I hope all of you all had a wonderful 4th and look forward to having a wonderful week this week. Thanks for being with me, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.